approval of the minutes for the previous meeting, did everyone receive copies, and if so, any changes or motions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Made by Supervisor Belsky. Made by Supervisor Skolinski. All those in favor, you the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Well, there's chairman committee minutes. I'm sure we'll get into it this evening, but as I said at our last county board meeting, IAW is definitely closed for an extended period of time. They did actually have another person, I think, go off the road down there. Yeah, Ray was telling me we had to put up some more extra signage. This one didn't go in the river.
Because a roadblock wasn't enough?
Well, it's a serious roadblock.
Wow.
They drove into the roadblocks.
Yeah.
This was last Monday, Monday morning, early, just drove straight. So now we have a flashing sign that just to...
This means you.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the water or something?
Well, there was one a couple weeks prior to that, that, you know, didn't believe that the road was actually closed and had to go down there and then attempted to turn around, and it's pretty narrow right there. Dumped a late model pickup truck right in the river.
He did the old Y turn on it, he went a little too far.
Yeah, one leg of the Y was a little too long, yeah.
Luckily, there were some guys down working in that area. He was hanging on, clinging on the truck.
Right.
There's 15 feet of water. It's really water.
Yeah, it's moving.
So I have nothing else, because it's all things that you'll hear. Mark?
Yeah, out in southeast Randall, Twin Lakes area, Highway CK, between Highway W and Highway KD, we have Thielen gravel now. They're prepping their land for the conveyor systems to go through. I know the county, DNR, and Twin Lakes have all been informed and approved all that work going on. I just wanted to mention that I did have a meeting with Mr. Thielen, and gave me a lot of information about it, which was good, because I knew it was happening. I just didn't know, you know, what his plans were. So apparently he had meetings with all you guys about that. So it'll be a very long project after he gets the conveyors through, 8 to 10 years there in the American Girl area before they proceed on to the other side of sea. My question, I didn't think about this before, and I didn't think about it when I was with Mr. Thielen, since they are going under county roads, is the county getting kind of stipend for doing that when they start? Twin Lakes gets a quarter of a yard, I know that, but I don't know if there was anything for the county.
I think, because I'm trying to remember when that went, when that actually got approved. It was a while.
Yeah, it was a while back. That's why
I don't know that we...
Is it typical? I mean, that's not atypical for companies to do that, as long as they have it done correctly, approved, and everything. There's nothing else going on.
They paid a permit fee to Kenosha County. They're not going to go under. They already did that.
Well, yeah, right, right. No, I know that's all. That'll take care of years ago. But I was trying to, is there, just like they're paying to remove the aggregate they're pulling out to Twin Lakes, they're actually using a road right away to do it, even though it's under the road.
Right.
So I have no idea. That's why I was just...
There's no tonnage fee to Kenosha County.
Okay.
Nor to Randall.
No, because of those morons, but okay.
Just to add is that they had a meeting with us, Mr. Thielen and one of his, you know, higher-ups in the company, because they wanted to propose, now our pit is spent from a conventional standpoint, but they, with some of the new technology that they've got access to, they wanted to at least start to look on our pit to see if that, if there could be, with the newer technology, some of that stuff could be retrieved economically. And so they're actually, we're letting them do some soil borings just to see if there's any potential for that.
Bring that up next.
Yep.
That there might be some county money available there based on them being able to mine out with new technology, as well as reclimate, because when they reclimate everything, you know, they have two different levels that they might be able to, you know, 8, 10 years, whenever they're out of there, you know, then it'll be all back to, or something more than just a hole in the ground. So, but I was hoping we were actively pursuing that work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking a little, because at this point there's no downside to at least having them poke around and see if there's something that can be retrieved out of there yet.
Sure, good, okay, thank you.
Anything else, any other supervisors? Citizens' comments, seeing no citizens, citizens' comments are closed. So we'll start this evening with parks, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll go with the division report first. The first item within that report is just kind of a Boundless Adventures end of the season recap. Since this was the first year of Boundless Adventures, I thought it'd be nice just to include a couple bullet points about their high points, how well the season went for them as well as us. So, as you can see, the gross shared revenue amounted to over $21,000 for the first year, so that was great in our mind, especially with how bad the weather was for all these outdoor venues. Right, Dan? 25 new local jobs were created. They only used local contractors, so that's great for our businesses as well, that they brought in a company from the outside but used local contractors in order to construct their actual park. And then they're great to the community. They donated all those climate experiences, and they're listed there as far as Boys and Girls Club, the Summer Youth Employment Program. Their veterans and families were able to climb for free. Numerous school groups that reached out to them, and then also just random local nonprofits were able to get free climbing experiences. And then it was a win-win across the board for Pringle Nature Center as well as our park in general, that we haven't seen that type of traffic to our park since I can remember, and a lot of the staff as well. They've been around for a long period of time. Every day, even on weeknights, you'd see that parking lot full. So that was definitely a positive for us to get more patrons there. And moving on to KD Park.
I do have a question about that. What was budgeted for 2019 for expected revenues?
I would have to check back. I don't remember what.
For what?
That would be.
For Boundless Adventures.
The budget for this year?
For 19.
For 19? Yeah.
The budget for 19, what was it?
Zero.
There was a, so this was.
Everything we take in is gravy.
I'm sorry?
Everything we take in is gravy.
I thought we had like 7% on the on sales of retail stuff. There was no expected amount of what that would bring.
There's nothing in the budget.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
KD Park, contractors, they were installing new fiber to KD Park to better have higher performance of internet service at our maintenance shop. They did finish the underground boring and hope to connect everything within January, so that one's moving forward as expected. At Fox River Park, We Energies, we've been going after different types of grant sources or donation sources from foundations, and We Energies Foundation donated $2,500 to assist in the reforestation efforts within Fox River Park. So several years ago, we had the EAB that came throughout all of our community. We were able to receive a fairly large grant at Petrifying Springs Park. Now we're trying to reforest our other parks where we had higher concentrations of ash trees. So $2,500 is a good start. Paul Schwartz Nursery, I contacted them and they decided to match that $2,500. So they're gonna double the amount of trees. And then with Kenosha County kicking in, also match, where we're gonna be able to put in 30 mature trees, hopefully still this winter during dormancy. So that'd be great for that park, just to continue to try to put some more trees in where we lost quite a few. Over at Petrifying Springs Park, just an update on the demolition of the old park administration building. Underground boring went well with the new water lines to all of our facilities, but just like a lot of the projects that we're probably gonna be talking about tonight, the early winter snow and storm events really prevented those new water lines to be connected. Just got way too cold, so you can't really bend the piping too well to make those connections happen. So you'd just be fighting it. So it's just better for us to hit the pause button, still utilize the old pipes, and just finish this up in spring. As soon as that's done, the demo of that building will occur hopefully by spring of 2020. And then just another recap as far as the beer garden over at Pets Park. There you can kind of see some high points. Gross revenue over 66 grand for us. Again, 25 local jobs created. It was pretty nice to know that they individually created 100 special events just with the beer garden alone. And then you times that by close to 100 events that the county parks puts on. That's pretty remarkable that we have over 200 events within the county parks nowadays. So that's fantastic for all of us. And then they're also great for the community. Over $18,000 in community donations to Boys and Girls Club, Education Foundation, the Kenosha Safe Harbor Humane Society, Y-Link, and United Way. And again, they were voted for the second year Best of Kenosha for a live entertainment venue, and brought in, to their estimate, over 65,000 people to that park this last year. As far as the Pike River Trails rehabilitation, the bids were due back on November 7th. Only one bid came in for that project, and we did have to reject that since that company did not send in the vendor responsibility form as required. And so we're hoping to rebid that back in the future in January 2020. And I hope, because we're going to bid it a little bit later, we found that some of these companies that do trail rehabilitation projects, they're kind of smaller scale, very niche type of, you know, businesses that do more specifically trail projects. So they're trying to probably push and finish a lot of these trail projects up in 19. So when we bid that early for the following year's projects, I think we bid a little too soon, because the CEO is also the guy with the shovel in the hand, since they're a little bit smaller of a business. So we're hoping it's a little bit more competitive this time around. Then Pringle Nature Center, I attached a picture. I think it turned out really nice. This is part of the annual Summer Youth Employment Program, where they bring in a local artist and help with the kids to design mosaics. There's a couple outside here at the KCC. And this is for one of our new features. We're slowly but surely going to be working on a nature-based playground where we cut down a bunch of ash trees within Bristol Woods Park. So this is, you can jump as far as, and then you have different types of animal creatures with the actual footage of each animal and how far they can jump. So we did some work excavating for a sand pit, so that'll all be ready to go for spring of next year. So a great kind of gateway to our nature playground. There's attached Pringle Center reports that you can read if you wish. And then the last one I had was UW Parkside Trails. We recently formed a trails committee with members of our park staff, UW Parkside faculty, and also our mountain bike organization that help out with trails out west at Silver Lake Park, to work on the design and rehabilitation construction of the multi-use hiking and mountain bike trails within Pets and Parkside. So that'll be moving forward with design work going into this off season. And that is all I have. Oh, actually, I do have the approval of proposed 2020 park entry fees and rental rates. So just for the new committee members, every year before the new year begins, we start renting out our pavilions starting January 1st. So this is only in front of the Public Works Committee, and it's a vote with the Public Works Committee. It doesn't go to finance or the full board, but we present both on the park side as well as golf in the near future what the proposed entry fees, rental rates, and all that good stuff will be. So as far as the parks are concerned, there's no changes as far as entry fees, rental rates, dog parks, boat launch fees from 19 to 20. The only thing I would point out is that Old Settlers Park, we would like to fee collect on the 3rd of July as well as the 4th of July. So it's one additional day that we would fee collect at that park. And that's the only change.
So does anybody have any questions on any of the fees? This includes pavilion rentals, everything that we do out there, the entrance fees, such as swimming beaches, the parks that have entrance fees, many of them don't. Paddock Lake.
And Paddock Lake, again, we don't charge on weekends anymore. We removed that fee, except for July 3rd and July 4th. Now we rely on the reservation of that pavilion instead of charging every customer to enter that park.
So if there's no questions on it, we just want to, approve this as a committee, so if I could just have a motion.
Move to approve.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Juhas, seconded by Supervisor Martin. Any questions? All those in favor, do the governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
So now, Dalton.
Thank you, sir.
We've completed all of our irrigation blowout without any problems at both of the facilities, so we will find out next spring how well we did, but usually they do a very good job of that. Everything has been winterized on the golf courses and the clubhouses, so we're pretty much set for the cold weather there. We officially closed Brightondale October 31st due to the 8 inches of snow, earliest that it's closed since I've been here for 11 seasons. Petrifying Springs is technically still open, but with the cart paths as bad as they are, we can't allow any carts out there because they're so saturated and they're pulverized and the carts just rut it up and get stuck. And so we're walking only. And you know, on days when we were nice, you know, we had very few golfers because there was no carts available to them, even though we had carts on property. But yeah, it was unfortunate the way the cart path paving project got side railed by the weather. So we haven't had a lot of play, and so we had a pretty poor finish the season due to the, you know, cold, wet fall weather. Our next initiative, which is going now, is our special holiday golf clearance sale. We have all of our merchandise from both facilities over at Petrifying Springs. There's some great savings, like all the apparel is buy one, get one free, so it's like 50% off every piece. We have some good sales on bags, shoes, shoes are 30% off, clubs. So we're there from 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday, until December 20th, and sales haven't been real busy. You know, it really helped in the past when we were open and had golfers for the merchandise sale, but we're working on the simulator and hopefully that'll pick it up. The update on the indoor golf simulator is a little bit later in the report, but I'll just tell you now, we had issues with how the projector matched up with the enclosure. We were given the information that a 1:1 aspect ratio would work well. Like if you look at your big screen TV at home, most of them are 16:9, some of them are 4:3, and we had a 10:10 enclosure and the projector made everything distorted. So we had to send the enclosure back, we had to send the projector back, and so we got a 13:10 enclosure now, and we got a 4:3 aspect ratio on the projector. We're hoping to have that up and running this week. So you know, it was distorted and blurry, and it wasn't something that we felt that we could charge for, so we decided to that we would do it right or not do it at all. So but we're looking forward to a productive off season, booking group events, restocking the golf shop, tuning up all the equipment, freshening the clubhouses, and just getting ready for 2020. Our cart path project has been delayed. You know, we will be working on it. We're trying to come up with ideas now to firm up that the conditions out there, so hopefully we can get carts going this spring. You know, we have to wait till the asphalt plants open, which is usually around May 1st, to you know, actually pave them. So we're contacting consultants, we're networking, we're trying to do everything we can to figure out what we can do with those cart paths. And but once the cart paths are done, it'll be, you know, again a shining star over there for the facility. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And that's basically the report for golf.
So right now, we're still open if it got decent.
If the temperature is at 40 or above on weatherchannel.com, then you can come out and play.
Yeah. Like a week ago, we had a couple of decent days. I know Ray said you had some people out.
Yeah, very few because it's walking only.
Right.
Yeah, we had 30 calls, you know, if you times that by 4 players a call, you know, that's 120 players, we ended up with 2. And, you know, instead of having $32 a player by riding 18, we're getting $18 a player, so, yeah, it's tough.
Thank you, Dan.
Mike's on vacation, and Clement is at Memorial for his father out west. He's coming back tomorrow. Mike's coming back tomorrow, too, actually. But there wasn't too much that happened under Mike's projects. KCC chiller replacement, we did take the rooftop units off of this building, which is actually a little operatic because where they were located, the crane had to be parked out there. There was no issues with it, but it was a little bit challenging, but they lifted them off safely on the 8th. And everything else, they meet weekly to do a progress meeting, although that project is going to take roughly till April of next year. There's steady progress being made. There's no issues that they've encountered at this point. So that's on track. Planning and development, the remodeling project, that is, I'm going to say, the construction part of it is substantially completed. Really all that's happening now is we're waiting for the millwork, which was supposed to be in, I believe the construction company said it was going to be in next Tuesday, and I think they've said that for the last four Tuesdays. So it's kind of the typical kind of thing. We got partial millwork in last week, and the rest is supposed to be in this week. And then we'll just work through this month. We should be able to get everything finished up and people moved in there before the end of the year. That's kind of the goal. There's no real rush, but we'd like to get it wrapped up by the end of the year. And I think it'll really work out well, as now you can see the physical space and how it's going to work. Both of those departments should function really nicely in there. It really should work out well. And we'll only need one receptionist slash kind of gatekeeper to that instead of two now, and it's going to be efficient too. So those are the two projects. Then he's got his energy projects, and we really haven't done anything significant with these, although that's because the electrician and the HVAC guy and the plumber have helped out somewhat with the little project out here and a couple of projects downtown. So there hasn't been a lot of work, but I know that the big project for next year is the KCDC upgrading all the jails, the 1, 2, 3, 4th item at the top. It's a big project. There's about $26,000 worth of lights going in, but the projected savings is incredible. That's that one that came back. It's going to be a fraction of a year, and we have our investment recouped on that project. And one of the key things was Mike worked with his staff and Cree Lighting so that we could reuse. We don't have to change out the actual secure fixtures in that facility, which is the really expensive part. They're able to retrofit lights into those. So that's why it's a fairly small investment, and it should have a quick payoff. So that's the next one I know up to bat. And that's pretty much all Mike had me put together, or put together for me, actually. Any questions?
Well, then we'll move on. When Clement and Mike are around, this goes quicker. Frank?
Mr. Chairman, try to keep it short. Anderson Arts Center preservation project, the HVAC startup is complete. I appreciate having heat in there. Commissioning and punch list is in progress, commissioning of the HVAC. HVAC training will be after they're done with the punch list items. The east and west roof work is complete between the snow, the sleet, the snow, the rain. And we're hoping to wrap things up in December here.
If I could just add to the Anderson Arts, I was talking to Ed St. Peter from Kenosha Water. They're putting in a multi-million dollar catchment system for the whole Allendale area, so it won't get flooded ever again.
That is fantastic news.
So
it's a bold statement, too. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah,
it's a bold.
You can verify it. We have a lot of discussion with them.
We've got it recorded. So.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They hope to get it bid out the first part of this next year, and then they'll start working on it. So, because this was an extraordinary rain event, and because they're going through and replacing all the lead pipes that were after 1933, he said, a long story short, a significant catchment system, because they can't just dump it all in the lake like they had been, because it just backs up, and so that's why they need the catchment system. So so that will be going in for the Avondale area. Well, they put in $2 million for the Anderson building, so, you know, they want to make sure their investment is well taken care of too.
Did he mention where it was going?
He did, but I don't recall. I can get the specifics for you.
Just curious.
We still want to pursue.
Or just call Ed before he retires.
We have our check valve installed.
It says we have our check valve.
Yeah, our check valve is installed.
Frank, why don't you give Ed a call? He is retiring at the end of the year, but he'd be happy to talk with you.
Great, thank you for letting me know.
Sure.
Because that'll be a year and a half before that would be operable.
No, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we, that's already, but thank you. If no other questions, we'll go on to ceremonial courtroom restoration scoping project. Again, the architects will compile the report and the scope and the estimated cost of the restoration. And Casey and the architect are exploring sources of public and private grant funding. No questions, we'll go on to joint services, evidence area renovation. We're assisting joint services with the design of the evidence area renovation project. The bid documents were released on October 31st. The bids came back on November 21st. The initial numbers are close to our budget, and we're in the process of sorting and verifying the bids, making sure they meet all the specifications. And project construction is scheduled for 2020. No questions. We've already started to plan out or start a sketch out for 2020 our projects, and looking at the scheduling and what's the best way to slot them. And that's it.
Any questions? Highway.
Clements report. Let's see. I'm trying to hit the highlights. Everybody's aware of, obviously, the weather events that transpired in the last month. So I don't think there's any need to really hash that over. County W closure, we talked about a little bit at the beginning of the meeting as well. We have had R.A. Smith, who has been the engineering firm we work closest with on any of the projects in that section of the Fox River, had them come out. They put together a draft report that Clement and I got last week. He and I are going to go through it tomorrow, and then we're going to sit down with R.A. Smith. We hope to have kind of a final set of recommendations by the end of the month on that. The bad news is it didn't look like there was going to be any really super good short-term kind of thing we could do to button things up and hold it for a while. But there's one thing that's what I'm hoping we can flesh out. That I'm hoping we can come up with something that does gives us an option to do something that's going to preserve things and at least, let's say, mitigate any further degradation of the thing, while we really sort out what the real answer is, because it's a long stretch of where the river runs parallel, very close to the road. And if we can come up with something long-term that deals with that, that it doesn't require a lot of maintenance, it's gonna be worth checking that out. So we're really gonna explore some of the, let's say, outside the box options for this. And then in January, I'm hoping if we get things refined with R.A. Smith in December, we'll have a report we can bring to the committee in January. State work, we were actually still doing some state work in between weather events on 31 and 50. Some spot repairs. In fact, we got some letters from some people that were wondering what we were doing, but we were doing blowout repairs of the concrete on both 31 and 50. And then there was an issue down on 83 and AH that there was a drainage issue that affected the condition of the road. I believe that's been resolved. I don't know that what we did was a permanent fix, but it was a fix at least for now until we can come up with a more permanent fix for that. The projects themselves, going through them on Highway S, Phase 1 from 31 to H, the bulk of that real estate has been acquired, but there is one that, there's one house or one parcel, I should say, in that area that is going to is going through the litigation process. It's Icky Ricky's. Demolition of all the other acquired properties is scheduled to be complete in February, and we're still targeting construction start for spring or summer, spring and summer of 20. The DOT, if we can get everything resolved with the DOT, we should be able to go out for bids January 5th, I believe it is when that will be advertised. But there still are, we've got like three or four meetings set in the month of December to work out details with them and real estate people and the railroads to make sure that everything is far enough along in the process that the DOT is comfortable actually going out to bids. And then phase two, right-of-way acquisition is complete there, except for two properties owned by the same person that look like it's going to go through the litigation process as well. Four of the 16 buildings that we acquired remain to be demolished. All the others should be done by the end of February as well. We actually have formally applied for a grant for this phase of the project, because this was 100% funded by the county at this point, but the multimodal local supplement program that the state passed this year, it was kind of controversial when they separated it out. It was $75 million that the governor pulled out of, and then they kind of worked some negotiations. Bottom line is, this project, we feel, mates up perfectly with what the criteria for that fund is. So we applied for the full $3.5 million. We put that application in last week, and their deadline for applications is next week, I think. So we'll see. We got our fingers crossed that we're going to be able to get some state funding to assist with that. And then we're still targeting construction for that to start mid to late 2020. On the F realignment project, design team submitted final plans to the department, DOT, for review. Right-of-way acquisition's a bit behind schedule because of the challenge related to properties with mortgages. It's interesting. So even though there were some sliver properties that we needed for right-of-way, if a homeowner still carries a mortgage on the property, you have, because the land is actually being altered by the, it's going to be slightly diminished because of the right-of-way, you have to get the mortgage company to sign off on it as well, which is normally a pretty routine thing, but evidently in this case, some of the mortgage companies, I don't know if they're out of state or what, but they've had difficulty in just coordinating the actual paperwork, and that's actually slowed some things down. Demolition of buildings on the acquired properties, those are the ones really on Highway O. That should be completed by year end, Clement told me. A bid advertisement for this is scheduled for March, construction to begin June. I met with the Village of Twin Lakes board. I apologize to Supervisor Nordigan because I wanted to let him know beforehand so I could attend that, and then things just kind of got away from me. And the meeting was 2 weeks ago on Monday night. It was a good meeting. They were asked a lot of questions. Board voted to support the IGA negotiation process, and they'll begin their legal review, and then we'll be talking with them as the year goes on as well. We're still working with a number of project area property owners to secure MOUs. I now have things to a point where they will all go out this week. I have that confirmed because I got everything signed off on by Corp Counsel. And that's pretty much where that's at. County Highway K project from H to the UP Railroads space, and actually really to be described as from 94th Court to UP Railroad. So we continue to work on that with Sewer Pack and FEMA to relocate that little piece of the Pike Creek that's right next to the West Railroad tracks. There isn't any, actually Sewer Pack got involved to help us out because they're, I can't remember, but it had something to do with the, some of the stuff that they recommended was consistent with what we were recommending. And so that should hopefully expedite the process in working with FEMA to get that approved. Let's see, other stuff I think is pretty repeat of what has, with the exception of utility relocation. So one of the properties, it's the, I forget what they're called now, if it's Affiliated Foods, it was the grocery store that's on the northeast corner of H and K. They had a piece of property right at the corner that they were attempting to sell to another developer, and the city got us involved because they wanted another access point on K, and Clement spent about maybe a month or so working with them and then in defining where that access would be, and then that would, they'd have to give us some right-of-way along that stretch so utilities could be relocated. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, that that deal fell apart. And so now we're doing what we need to do to get what we need for actual right-of-way there and just move forward with that. So the utility installation process has been delayed. They hope to start that in mid-November. Now they moved it to spring. But really, at this point, we're not really pushing anything because the city and county still need to settle up in terms of how things are going to be paid for that whole stretch and utility relocation and some of the other right-of-way issues. There's still a number of things that got to get sorted out, so there's really no big rush for this thing to get done. H and 65th Street signalization. Hopefully, if anybody's been through that stretch, I think it's working really well. Those lights went up and were activated on the 22nd of November, and they're set up such that they default, the term they use is total recall. What an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie has to do with that, I don't know, but in any event, it's basically on H, they're set up to be green default all the time. Somebody pulls up on 65th Street, it triggers it, and so the traffic flow really still works very well, but it provides safety for those folks that do need to get in and out of the subdivision there.
It does work.
Yeah, it really, I think it's really working well. Let's see, County Highway KR replacement or enhancement project. I haven't been out there enough for a week or so, but they did have all three eastbound lanes complete. There was still some small crossover work that they were having to do. The DOT is still open to open all six lanes before year end. We've kind of pushed back on them about doing that because we don't feel there's any need to open all six lanes since Foxconn isn't operating yet. So we'll see what actually happens there. Because if we don't have to plow six lanes, we really don't want to plow six lanes. So we're working with them, and we'll see where that ends up. And then the section H to 31, design team continues to work to fine-tune the design. And there's some stormwater issues there, but nothing major. And right-of-way acquisition is progressing on schedule. Construction is still targeted to begin next fall for that section of the project. That's highways.
Questions from anyone? If not, we'll proceed, right?
Then the last thing I've got, just to wrap up some stuff, is you heard tonight, you know, everybody's pushing to wrap up some projects and also begin planning for the 20 stuff that we've got to do. Based on the forecasting that's in place for what it's worth, weather likely next year is probably, even though statistically we should get a break, it doesn't sound like we're going to. And an article Matt gave me today, it was in the Journal this weekend, the water table is so high now, you dig down a couple feet and you're hitting water because it's just literally, it's maxed, everything's maxed
out. It's less than 2 feet.
It's really, it's gonna take a while to drain things, dry things out, and it doesn't, again, who knows what's gonna happen this winter, but what's being predicted doesn't look good. So we're kind of just, we're figuring stormwater drainage issues will likely again consume a decent amount of everybody's time next year. I think we've got staff in place to help with some of this stuff with one of the guys that we put in highways into a position this last year to help with drainage issues specifically is helping out immensely. And then the new hire down in planning development, Mark Jenks, was a former state DATCAP employee that specialized in stormwater issues. We've got him involved, and so we've got a lot more horsepower than we used to have dedicated to these things. And so I'm hoping that we're going to be able to at least keep our head above water as we move into the new year. This one, I wrote this on Thursday last week, and we did tentatively begin, had scheduled to begin construction of the Silver Lake Tower Foundation in mid-December, weather dependent, but as of this afternoon, it's likely not going to happen because the project manager from Baycom, the vendor that's going to be putting that tower up, had an emergency family situation come up and he's on leave for a couple weeks. So between that and there's a number of technical issues we've got to sort out, more than likely we're not going to start that project until springtime. Probably when we get the other tower, hopefully get everything ready to go with the tower site downtown, which for that site we've got three of the four properties purchased. The fourth one, we, that person has already identified and made an offer to purchase another property, so they're at that stage of getting ready to move out. So we're hoping by the end of the year, but for sure in January, we should have that fourth property. And then we just need to work through the zoning process in the city and demolition process next year to get those four houses taken down, so we'll have the table set for construction of that tower downtown next year. That's pretty much it on that. And I'm just hoping to wrap up as many loose ends as we can in the next few weeks and continue planning for a challenging and hopefully productive next year. Yes, sir.
Are all the tower designs going to be the same, or are they different? So are if monopole versus, say, triangular erector sets that,
yeah.
If we settle on one, or
yeah, so
does it depend on the site?
Nope, we're going to put monopoles at both. They'll be the same height. Potentially the actual inner workings of them may be slightly different depending on the loads that each of them has to carry. But they're going to be pretty darn similar. They're going to the naked eye, they're going to look pretty much identical. 200 feet, or 199 feet actually, to be just under 200 feet. And because we're going to have to get into a bunch of FAA stuff if we go over that. And the foundations will probably be significantly different underground. The two support buildings, the one actually on the east end will be slightly bigger than the one on the west end based on the amount of equipment that's got to get put in that building. But they're going to look pretty much like twins to the naked eye.
And will the carrying capacity of each one, what level of safety factor for additional equipment in the future?
So we typically use a factor of, we figure worst case scenario for a starting load. Right now, we're actually going through this right now. So we're taking, because there's a number of different ways you can configure stuff to have the frequencies play nice with one another and not interfere. Some of that involves equipment that you put down in the building. Some of it involves the types of antennas you use on the tower, all of which can affect the load on the tower. So you kind of try to optimize those. We figure the worst case scenario, so we have the heaviest load on the tower, and we multiply that times 1.4, so that we build in a 40% factor of additional load that it can accommodate as we go forward.
As a new supervisor, do you send out a report to this committee or to the board that shows what you had planned to get projects done in 2019, and now they'll move to 2020? So do you provide us a report identifying what projects got delayed or moved to 2020, and then how much the reserve is impacted by the funds that are carried forward?
So what we'll typically do is each month we just give an ongoing report. So when we start a project, we'll typically say we're starting this here, it's going to be finished in this year, or it's going to go into whatever the length, approximate length of time is. And then each month we'll update the committee as to where that's at. And the only time we really talk about dollars is if we start to get in trouble. Otherwise, if we don't talk about the dollars associated with the project, we're under than whatever the budget amount was.
So you don't really do like a forecast to actual. So like you forecast in 2019, this is what you're going to spend, but the actual was this amount?
Very definitely. We do it every month.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We don't do that here at that level of detail. I've never given that kind of a report here.
Okay.
But yeah, we watch that very close, and there's a process at the end of the year that, is it okay if I talk? I don't want to.
It's perfect.
Okay,
We're under.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time, and at the end of the year, there's a carryover process that where all the projects, if they're not done, then you carry over the money to finish them in the next year. It's part of the regular
finance
committee.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you have to do that. But is there a way for us to know how much you actually carried over that wasn't actual spend in 2019 that would move to 2020?
Yeah, it's all part of that year-end process
that
they go through.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, thanks.
Ray, as far as the towers go, specifically the downtown tower, I've been in communication the last several months with the property owners, and just wanted to pass along some encouragement to you. Just a few weeks ago, I talked to Martine, the owner of the Blue House on the corner
Bill
there.
Lobos, Mr. Bill Lobos.
Yeah. And he was very positive about the whole process. He was very pleased with how he was treated and with how everything worked out. So just wanted to you know, encourage you along those lines. I'm glad to hear that. Sounds like things are finishing up there. So.
Yeah, it's always, you know, when the heavy hand of government is involved in taking property or acquiring property for a public project, yeah, it can be kind of the folks there. Mr. Lobos was top. All the folks, there was four separate property owners. They were all very approachable. There was actually two that retained attorney, I think, because not that they went and sought attorney, but the attorney sought them, type of thing. And the one guy, at the closing, he said, he said to his attorney, it was a complete waste of time for me to get you involved in this process, because our attorney was sitting at the table when he said it. And the other person or family that had gotten an attorney involved, again, the attorney was really doing, and we actually, our attorney, Corporation John Moyer, kind of coached them into the right process so they could get, because they were not tough to deal with, they were just scared and didn't really know what to do, and they needed somebody to kind of shepherd, and that's what their attorney should have been doing, but we kind of did that. So, yeah, it could have been, it definitely is one of those things that could have went sideways a bunch of times, and it went pretty well. So it's good to hear that he actually said something like that too, that he felt it was about. Yeah, I think all the folks ended up in a fair place. They're happy with where they're at, and we'll be able to put up a tower down there that'll take us 50 to 75 years into the future. So it's all good.
So Daniel, if they act very happy and they say they'd like to know where Ray lived and drop something off, you may want to give them a heads up. Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Hey, Ray, now we use Source One again.
So there's a few different places we're using for real estate. The group that we used for this was Core Engineering. Single Source is still used. They actually are doing the County Highway F project. They're involved in the KR project, but they're not the sole one. And so we've been working with other groups to see how all of them conduct themselves. And CORE, as evidenced by those, because that's really was the face of us, was the people from CORE.
Right.
And they did a real nice job.
It's the same thing as Frank and Mike's constituents on Long S there. They're just... It wasn't well explained, so they're very apprehensive. Because to your point, you know, government's coming in, they want to take something. Oh, you know, I better lawyer up. When in all reality, it isn't necessarily, or it isn't always necessary. Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is.
But it has to do with that initial contact from whether it's CORE and Source Roof or Company X, and them explain a little bit more of their role, you know, up front, so that they can get a level of, you know, comfort and understanding. No one goes through that on a regular basis. Right.
Right? It's totally.
I mean, the county already goes through it on a regular basis.
Right. Now we've gotten more experience than we really ever wanted, but now we know how it works, and we've got more. I think our consultants are better now, yeah. And we're working through the process because. But it was, yeah. It's a.
And you get the occasional, you know, icky rankings, but that's the exception, not the rule in most cases.
Right.
Well, we look for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.